But going back to our update, we are referring to some interesting developments in Israel having to do with Jewish sacrifices and the temple service. And this article points out that actually, right now, as we speak, Passover sacrifices could be given by whoever on the Temple Mount, or even not even on the Temple Mount. And it's just the government, they say in this article, which prevents it. They are quoting some rabbis saying that we should be ready to begin the temple service. And we are pointing out then that the Bible prophesies that the Jews will begin to bring animal sacrifices, but then they will be suppressed by an invading European power bloc. It is possible that these sacrifices will begin before the building of the third temple has commenced or has been completed, but they will be brought in anticipation of the third temple. That's important to understand. The third temple is going to be built prior to Christ's return, but the third temple doesn't have to be completed before animal sacrifices could start. We have an example like that in the book of Ezra where that happened. So again, it's something which we should all be aware of. Before I go into some more interesting developments on the news front, I'd like to point out that we have a Q&A in this update written by Brian Gale asking the question, how important is encouragement in the life of a Christian? And in this article, he quotes a very famous story about the devil having all kinds of cards displayed of things which you can buy. And one of them is discouragement. And he says, well, that is the most powerful tool I have because so few people realize it belongs to me. And then, of course, it also in the Q&A talks about the opposite, and that is encouragement. And one of the people which Brian Gale is mentioning in this Q&A is, of course, the apostle Barnabas, who would later become an apostle, actually. And his name is actually translated the son of encouragement. And he is listed in Acts chapter 4 and verse 36 and then in other places and pointing out why he was called that way. What was his character trait of being encouraging? And why that is also, of course, a good example for all of us. But now going back to some further events, we talked about Israel's election, and subsequent to the update, an article by Israel Today was published saying that our fourth election in 2 years, upon which we had placed so much hope, failed to bring any clarity. Quite the opposite, the situation now seems to be even more deadlocked than it was after the previous elections. And it's so deadlocked that the political situation is almost like ironic. Times of Israel explained it this way. The Israeli electorate was asked to contemplate the mind-blowing possibility of Netanyahu seeking to govern with the parliamentary backing of both Arabs and anti-Arabs. He would have Ra'am on one flank and on the other the far-right religious Zionism Party or Zionism Party. These two beyond implausible partners do have one thing in common, however, their anti-LGBT stance. So we were also looking at a coalition featuring two anti-LGBT parties and a senior minister who is gay, Netanyahu loyalist Amir Ohana. So if you want to figure this one out, what's going on in Israel doesn't look good at all. And they're saying it's possible there's going to be a new election coming, would be the fifth one pretty soon if they can't put a government together. Now, we did talk about an ongoing concern regarding the President of the United States, and we have some statements in our update. But subsequently to that, another incident occurred having to do with the press conference, which, if you have seen it or which you have seen part of it, was another disaster. Now, there are speculations, and I've heard them made on television, to the effect that the 25th Amendment of the United States Constitution against Joe Biden might be invoked. Now, what is the 25th Amendment? It It says that if the president becomes unable to do his job, the vice president becomes the president or the acting president. Unless the president resigns voluntarily, transfers his powers voluntarily to the vice president, or dies, the 25th Amendment allows the vice president, together with a majority of either the principal officers or the executive departments or of such other body as Congress, may by law provide to issue a written declaration that the president is unable to discharge his duties. Now, I don't want to say more than that, except that Democrats have now raised the issue already, not just Republicans. So we will see how this all will turn out and play out in this conference, this press conference the other day. President Biden was asked whether he is going to rerun in 2024, and he said, oh yes, that's my intention, and President or Vice President Harris will be his running mate. So we'll see whether that happens. But it's an interesting situation because the former White House physician with the rank of Rear Admiral believes that President Biden's press conference performance on Thursday raises questions about his fitness for office. So that's another voice, and they are saying, and he is saying, that something will have to happen. So we will have to wait, and we will have to see. Also, another interesting development today, China and Iran signed a cooperation deal. Iran has been the largest trading partner of China for a long, long time. But this new deal is supposed to be a permanent one, and it says that China will invest some $400 billion in Iran, including for military cooperation and for economic measurements. Now, why that's important? There is going to be an attack of Asiatic hordes on the Promised Land right after Christ's return, as we read in the book of Ezekiel. And China and Iran and Russia and other Far Eastern nations are mentioned as being part of that military alliance. So are we seeing here already a development leading to that situation? Now, before I go into one more issue, which I will take a few moments to discuss, I also want to talk to a situation in, I mean, I'm laughing, it's no laughing matter, but I want to talk about a situation in Oregon. And it says in this article by the Western Journal that the Oregon Department of Education is promoting a course for teachers that links math lessons to racism and a culture of white supremacy. According to the teaching materials, too much focus on asking students to get the right answer when solving math problems is connected to white supremacy. Furthermore, the course will ask teachers to identify and challenge the ways that math is used to uphold capitalist, imperialist, and racist views. Have you ever heard such nonsense? And then the article says, well, who do you thank for this new course? And it concludes with the following comment. If you are wondering where something so brazenly anti-American originated from, the lesson thanks the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation for its generous financial support. So much for that. And now I want to talk about another tragedy. And it serves to show how fragile this world is, how fragile our economy, our worldwide economy is, and that literally overnight, things can drastically change, as to an extent they already have. I'm talking about the Suez Canal fiasco. You probably heard about that. It refers to a huge ship, container ship, which is now blocking the Suez Canal. And I just want to read a few articles, what they are saying here. The global economic troubles, that's from the Washington Post, triggered by a giant container ship called the Ever Given, stuck in the Suez Canal, worsened on Saturday, that's today, with a blockage of more ships carrying billions of dollars of goods. A total of 276 vessels are stuck in a massive maritime traffic jam. It later says the unprecedented bottleneck at or near the canal would strain global, or could strain global supply chains that are already stressed by the coronavirus pandemic. The Daily Beast added, the global shipping industry bleeds $400 million each hour. The massive ever-given container ship stays stuck in the sand of the Suez Canal. Or to put it in different words, an estimated $9.6 billion in shipped goods is being held up by the calamity every day. $9.6 billion every day. Greenwich Time added, the grounded container ship has come to symbolize the perils of a global economy that relies on goods traveling around the world in larger and larger vessels. In fact, I was looking for an article this morning which we had published in one of our previous updates. Couldn't find it, didn't have that much time to look for it, but that article already warned against this development. More and more goods are being transported through the oceans. And what happens when something happens to the oceans, as the Bible prophesied, is going to happen. So the article goes on to say, the Ever Given, one of the largest container ships ever built, has been stuck in the canal since Tuesday, creating an increasingly expensive traffic jam on both sides of the waterway. Some tankers have already opted to travel around the southern tip of Africa instead, adding weeks of their journeys with hundreds of thousands of dollars in additional fuel costs through a region known for piracy. Pirates have long preyed on ships moving in the waters of the Horn of Africa, and the seas off oil-rich West Africa are now considered among the world's most dangerous for shipping. But the calamity doesn't end there. It goes on to say that moving the Ever Given will only create a new set of headaches. Many of those vessels will arrive in European ports at the same time, and they will find nowhere to dock because it's just too many ships. Europe can't handle that either. And most of the ships are actually designated for Europe. And so the incident shows one more time that how dependent the world is on the shipping industry and how quickly everything can collapse. The Suez Canal, however, is not the only trade choke point. Deutsche Welle talks about three more: the Strait of Hormuz, the Strait of Malacca, and the Panama Canal. And similar situations can happen there. Now, of course, the Strait of Hormuz is one which has been in the news quite a bit because that's pretty much controlled to an extent by Iran, and they have already threatened they are going to close this down if some things happen which they don't like, and that will have a tremendous impact on the oil industry because most of the oil is going through that one. And so this article, which we also will publish in the coming update, will go into the critical roles of these straits. Now remember, the Bible talks about the fact that God would give the descendants of the house of Israel and Judah the sea gates, the gates of their enemy, as a blessing. And these are those straits, for instance, we are talking about. Gibraltar would be another one. But he also said he's going to take it away from them in the end time. And that's what we are seeing, of course, with the Panama Canal that was taken away from America a long time ago. And so we see more and more the decline of the United States of America and Great Britain on the one hand, and of course the fragile situation in the world all over the place. And of course now again, we have the restrictions insofar as the coronavirus pandemic is concerned. And one of the articles we have in our update are raising the questions, what if a more serious pandemic is going to arise? And of course, there's all kinds of speculations as to how that could happen. They are saying the present pandemic, the coronavirus pandemic, is mutating, the virus is mutating. And there are all kinds of ideas as to why that is. Some say it's because of the vaccines. Others say it's in spite of the vaccines, whatever it may be. And of course, there's no vaccine at this point, it appears, which is really helpful when it comes to these mutations. And so more and more people are dying in Brazil. and in other places, because even if they had vaccines, they wouldn't work. So anyhow, this is what we are facing. It's going to be a time of great turmoil, as the Bible says. I believe we are in the beginning of sorrows, something which we need to understand properly, what is meant by sorrows. In the German translations, it's much clearer. It's talking about a woman being in labor. That's what it's talking about. And of course, you only have a short time until birth is being given. That's the figurative explanation, the figurative comparison Christ is using here. And we know, and we have said that before, once we are in the beginning of sorrows, and you have the four horsemen of the apocalypse riding, what is the next event? It is going to be the Great Tribulation, the time when Christ says, it's such a terrible time that no human being would survive unless he would come down to shorten these days. And he's doing it for the elect's sake. And that brings me back to the comments by Mr. Mitchell in his editorial. It's because of the elect's sakes that this world will not completely, totally be destroyed. So in other words, you and I have a role to play in this.